Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, means it's time for another segment of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM, program number 228 in that continuing series. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2 and 107.7 on your FM dial. As we broadcast from the Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council studios, powered by the Soybean Checkoff, we are KASM. And like I said, it's 12 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, 28 currently here in Albany. We did see 29 briefly, but back to 28 degrees right now. Sun is shining. We have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in and go to the phone lines right now and say good morning to Dale Pexa Jr. Good morning, Dale. How are you doing?
Good morning, Cy. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Wonderful. And where is Dale at this morning? Home?
I am at home.
At home? And where do you make home these days, Dale?
We're in Prior Lake, Minnesota, south of Minneapolis, approximately 30 minutes.
Okay. Now, is that where you were born and raised? Or no, you were, down in Elko, Minnesota?
That is right. I was raised on a farm by Newmarket.
Uh-huh.
Just outside of Newmarket, we had cows and all that good stuff going on there with a dairy farm.
Mm-hmm. And you're the son of Dale Sr., huh?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And that's where the Dale Pexa Band came from. Your dad started the band then back in the days?
My dad started the band, to my recollection, in 1964.
Okay.
Him and his wife, my mom, Fran.
Uh-huh.
And from there, they progressed through many different styles and many different musicians and time periods.
All right. And you were a member of the band all the way through, or you came on the scene, or when did you factor in?
I was born in 73, so I came on the scene when I was about 11 years old.
Okay.
Officially in 1986, I believe I was on the second recording back when it was Dale Pexa and the Country Girls.
Okay.
That was the time when I started with the band.
Okay. All right. And how'd you get started in music, Dale? Did you take it in school, or did you learn it at home, or where'd you get started?
Well, from the start, my dad was always practicing his concertina in the house, and he brought out a cornet when I was maybe 3-4 years old and told me to start blowing on it and piddling around, pushing the valves, and one thing led to another. Pretty soon I was playing trumpet when I was about 6 or 7, by ear, self-taught. And then when I got into elementary school, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I picked up saxophone.
Okay.
And that's where I learned how to play saxophone. And in my high school years, I switched back to trumpet in the high school band under direction of John Henley.
Okay.
At that time.
Okay. And did you go on to college then as well?
I did not.
Did not. Okay.
My dad had a construction company.
Okay.
And besides the dairy farm, so I went from high school to helping him in construction and also farmers. But in between all that, we still kept the band, you know, playing 30, 40 jobs a year.
Sure.
And so we had plenty going on.
I guess. Well, my first experience with the Dale Pexa Band was you guys came up into the St. Joe area, College of St. Ben's, and I can't remember the year, but it was probably back in the 80s, I want to say, and it was a Catholic Aid, at that time it was Catholic Aid Insurance Company up in this area, now they're called Catholic United, but they had some kind of a special celebration. It was some anniversary or something. And they rented a hall over in the College of St. Ben's and scheduled a polka band. And so we had a meal and seen the band setting up and didn't pay much attention. And all of a sudden they started playing. And I said, who are these guys? It was the Dale Pexa Band. And it was like, wow, where did they come from? You guys, I mean, that's the only time I've seen you guys in person. But very, very good. A full band and that Dutchman style, it really struck a note with me. And I don't know if you happen to recall that particular event. I'm sure probably not. You guys do a lot of them through the years, huh?
Yeah, that particular one. I faintly remember because I was younger, and usually the longer the drive, the more I remember.
Okay.
But I do remember, you know, faintly playing that job, and what a great bunch of people they were.
Oh, yeah. Everybody got up and danced and just loved the music. And that always helps in the band when you get that participation from the crowd that they dance. It makes playing so much easier, doesn't it?
It does. It gives us a lot more initiative and a lot more energy to play even harder, you know, for the people. We like to play and put on as good a show as we can for people that are unable to dance and just sit there and enjoy the music. But when people are up there dancing, and it sure does give it a whole different feel for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think there's a pretty rich history with the Pexas. I know of another Pexa by the name of Laddie. Laddie and Rose, are they related to you guys?
Boy.
Laddie's a trumpet player?
Yeah. Doesn't Laddie play with the White Rose?
He did. They did some time with the White Rose Band. Currently, the last I seen, they were playing with Matt Hodick and the Dakota Dutchman.
I don't know if we are related.
Okay.
I honestly didn't know Laddie's last name was Pexa.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I've played with Laddie myself up in Stump Lake, North Dakota.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay. Okay.
But, yeah, as far as the relation, I'm not sure.
Okay. So your dad passed away now. How long ago is that?
That was 2015.
2015.
So coming up on 3 years.
Yep. And suddenly, or was he sick, or how?
No, it was very suddenly. He actually went almost exactly the way he wanted to. He was at a wedding dance. Mm-hmm. He wasn't planned, but he was invited to one on Saturday night, and he was dancing to old time music and with friends and family, having a really good time, and went to bed that night and never woke up.
Really? Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as it's hard on our side, but it's
yes,
a big blessing on his.
Yep. I've seen that many times. My dad went so suddenly, too. And I always said, too, it's harder on the ones that you leave behind because there's no warning, no chance to say goodbye. But on the other hand, they're much happier than the person that has to lay around for a couple of years with cancer or something like that and struggles with it. So yeah, there's both ways it can be said. So all of a sudden he leaves you, and what happened to the band then? I'm sure you had jobs booked and things going on. Left you in a little bit disarray then.
There was even before that. We had a 9-piece band, and then one of the players got ill, and then my mom got breast cancer, and we ended up for a while. Just having me up there because everything was kind of messed up.
Uh-huh.
And then in the midst of all that, Dad passed away. And like you said, there's jobs that are booked. And we actually played the day after his funeral, if I remember right.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Just because that's what he would have wanted.
Yeah.
And from that point, there was a lot of thinking to go on, you know, to keep the big band sound that he really appreciated and liked, but to find musicians to do that is can be a difficult thing to accomplish.
How old was your dad when he passed away?
72.
72. Yeah, that by today's standards, that's very young. How about your mom?
She passed away last, I got to think about that, October 2016.
So okay.
It was like 17 months they passed away.
In between,
you know,
wow.
Between each other.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay. Wow. So any other brothers and sisters in the family then?
I do have a sister. She's, Franny is her name, and she's 8 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And she drummed with the band in her younger years, late teens.
Okay.
And then kind of went on her way from there.
Okay.
She has three boys. And she actually lives at the home place right now. Which
she does.
Nice.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. And some of the other musicians that have been with the band probably back in the early years when you were there and the current band, if you care to mention those, what they play.
Oh, sure. It started out with my dad's sister and my mom. Judy Doherty was her name. And then through the years, from what I can remember, there was a Dave Tupi and Tim Gates. They played bass and guitar. And then it kind of evolved to the Dale Pexa and the Country Girls, which was with Darcy Skolzacek on sax. And in addition to that was Christy Peters on guitar and vocals. Bridget Wagner was a drummer with my dad's band for, my goodness, 20, 25 years. And then from Dale Pexa and the Country Girls, it evolved to the Dale Pexa Band, which was more of the New Ulm style. Then we had George Muxa come in. He played sax and clarinet. Gordy Prochaska, he's on a couple of our recordings. He played saxophone and clarinet.
Okay.
And that was a group for a while. Donnie Tupi, he sat in on sax and clarinet. John Henley, he played trumpet with us for a couple of years. And then when when Dad passed away and Mom kind of got sick, and then Mom passed away, it was kind of up to me to decide on, well, where do I find some guys? And I was fortunate enough to have Rick Kane on trumpet, felt, trombone, and vocals, Myron Muehlbauer on sax and clarinet, Steve Moran, he'll play trumpet, trombone, Jerry Kale, he plays sax and trumpet, and right now on the drums we have Arnie Jaskowski from the Webster area. On tuba we have Mike Boudin and John Novotny will fill in once in a while. On piano we have Chris Langen and sometimes Jerry or Jay Minar from New Prague. And Jay and Jerry Minar both play concertina with us on a full-time basis. They kind of trade off.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. So some great musicians there. I recognize almost all of the names. We've had many of them on our Musicians Come and Play program. So, yeah, you're talking about a star-studded lineup there and able to read and play very, very well. So that's awesome. Dale, if I can ask you to stand by for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota, so I'll read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then we'll come back with you and close out the program.
Very good.
All righty. So, Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market, now into the new year. And this is a different year as the Vikings are in the playoffs, hoping to still be there in February. We hope so, too. It's a great reason to get together with family and friends on these weekends to see how far the Vikes can go. Come into the St. Joe Meat Market for lots of great food ideas. There is everything from homemade meatballs, cooked and uncooked, the little cocktail hot dogs and sausages that can be served in the barbecue sauce. Meat and cheese trays are always a hit and come in three standard sizes. There are many jerky, snack sticks, and summer sausage chubs, all in various flavors, great for with a box of crackers. The possibilities are endless for entertaining when you come into the St. Joe Meat Market. As always, for more information or to place your order, call 320-363-4913. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our weekly specials on our webpage, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. That's the St. Joe Meat Market, downtown St. Joe, Minnesota. And Dale, for being our guest on the program, and we've been doing this since the program began way back in 2013. Wally Pickle was our first guest, and we sent him out that meat package. And, oh, boy, he came back to me chirping. He said, oh, my goodness, Cy, he said, that is some good stuff. And so we like to send one to each and every person. It's a little sample package of some of the stuff we do and hope that you and the family around you enjoy it in good health. How's that for you?
Well, thank you very much. We will enjoy.
All right. And you have family around you, Dale?
I have a wife and a son.
Okay.
Yes.
And her name?
Her name is Heidi.
Heidi. Okay. And your son?
My son's name is Nolan.
Nolan. And at home yet or graduated or what stage?
No. Everybody's at home yet.
Everybody's at home.
He's 11 years old.
Oh, perfect.
He's taking drum lessons right now. And
awesome.
He's practicing to Grandpa's CDs, trying to figure out the polkas and waltzes. So
nice.
He's moving right along with that.
Nice. Well, Dale, something neat happened along the way, and this is when I really started paying attention to your band, was you guys purchased the library from the Jerry Schuft Orchestra.
Correct. My dad, Jerry Minar helped with that scenario. And my dad purchased that, I think, boy, in the early 2000s.
Okay. And was Jerry still living yet, or had he passed away at that time?
No, Jerry Shuft was still living.
Okay.
And he passed away shortly after that.
Okay.
But his arrangements were perfect for our band, since we had the trumpet, sax, and trombone.
Oh, yes.
The three-part.
And through the years, Earl Schmidt and Jerry Shuft, they were just a very popular band at all the dance halls throughout Minnesota. And, boy, you guys really picked up that sound when you added that library to your repertoire.
Yeah, we got a lot of positive feedback from, trying to obviously mimic how they played it, but, you know, keeping the energy. Those guys had a lot of energy to keep up to, too.
Oh, they did. Now, when you mentioned John Henley, was he a member of the Jerry Shuft Orchestra, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I don't know. I know he played with Jerry Shuft quite a bit.
Oh, he did, okay.
I had the opportunity to talk to Jerry Shuft, and we had a small conversation about that. John Henley he played with a lot. I actually talked to him about a month ago, and he said he played with over 200 bands.
Okay,
so yeah. He was a busy, busy fella.
It would be easier to find out which ones he hadn't been with then, probably.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. So as far as you know right now, you've got, two recordings available or three? What do you know about that?
Two recordings right now that are available, and I am working on another one. I'm hoping next winter we can put together a new CD in memory of Mom and Dad with, you know, the full Babe Wagner-type feel.
Oh, okay.
Six Fat Dutchman, and just have fun with it. And hopefully we can get that out, you know, next year.
All right. And I have to do this, Dale. We're visiting with Dale Pexa, Jr. One of the comments I get about this program is people will tune in during the middle of the show, and they wonder, who is he talking to? You know, they want to know who you are. And so I have to do that little exclaimer here talking with Dale Pexa, Jr. out of Prior Lake, Minnesota, about the Dale Pexa Band. And I don't know if I asked you, Dale, you mentioned you played which instruments now? Trumpet, saxophone, clarinet, maybe?
Yep, I play trumpet, sax, clarinet. My main instrument's probably trumpet.
Okay.
And I play some concertina and piano and guitar.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, that makes you dangerous, because you can just about do everything then. that's great. Your favorite music to play, Dale, in the library? Polkas, waltzes, which one? Two steps?
That's a tricky question.
Uh-huh.
If I have the right arrangements and the full band, I would have to say a good arranged Babe Wagner-style waltz.
Oh, okay.
Full chords with four-piece harmony.
Evening Shadows or something like that?
Yeah, it just makes your hair stand up when, you know, that full... When you can make it sound like 20 people are up there and there's only 9.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. And did you live long enough? I mean, were you born already? I don't know the time frame there, but did you get to see the Babe Wagner Band at all?
No, I did not.
Did not. No. They were gone before you were born? Okay.
Yep.
Or at least old enough to realize who they were. I've talked with Donnie Klostner, of course, and Donnie was a concertina player for years with Swede Wagner when he took over the band. And so we've got a little bit of information there, but... yeah, that would have been great to have seen that band in its heyday, huh?
Yes, it would have. I've heard many stories from my daddy. You know, they'd go see a dance, and there'd be people outside because inside it was full.
Yep.
And there'd be people dancing on the sidewalks and on the streets and just having a good time.
You bet. Who are some of the bands that you did get to go and see when you weren't playing or when you had a battle of bands or a polka fest or something? Who'd you enjoy?
Boy, in my younger years, I don't think I didn't pay much attention, and we really didn't go see other bands.
Okay.
But I would say, you know, bands, Gordy Prohaska has that full band sound I enjoy.
With the Little Fishermen, yeah.
Yes, with the Little Fishermen. Moloch's have a nice sound. I really enjoy all of it because, Leon Olson... That type, they're different styles. I enjoy them.
Sure.
But I'm definitely a big band
The full horns. Yep, the full horns and full arrangements. Yes, you bet. You bet. Did you get to see Elmer Scheid or Fez or Six Fat Dutchman's in any of those?
Not in person.
Not in person, yeah.
Nope. Yeah. I missed the boat.
Yeah. Well, I feel that same way. And I did 35 years in the band business myself. So that's one of the things when you're playing, you don't get out and see the other bands as much unless you happen to be at a polka fest or something where everybody's playing at the same place. But my time was too prior to the polka fests are more of the things nowadays that we see, especially down in Iowa and, well, Larry's over at Lake Benton. And some of those are some well-known polka fests yet. But that's about the only place you'd get to see some of the bands anymore.
It really is. Wisconsin still holds a couple good ones.
Okay.
But it is. It's a hard market.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, it sure seems like, because newer generations aren't, you know, really brought up with it.
That's right.
And they don't know about it.
I think that's right.
That's a lot of it.
Money's a factor. I mean, you can almost hire a DJ any place for a lot less money, and they play all the different styles. But us musicians are always kind of anti-DJ because it's not the same. Is it true?
For me, it's not the same. No.
Yeah, they can play. They can play Glenn Miller or any, you know, big band or something, but it's always, I don't know, when I was out to a dance, it was always nice to look up there and see the musicians. And there's more than this, just the music. I mean, some of these bands with the antics and everything, it's an entertainment besides the music that you enjoy.
It really is, trying to keep the people involved and
yep.
Telling jokes that are appropriate.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're right, it is. And, you know, even watching a band, and you might pick up on a mistake, and they're kind of laughing about it and having fun with it. And,
That's right.
You know, it's real.
You bet.
Is what it is.
Some of the great ballrooms or venues that you might have been in or through the years that stick out in your mind, really enjoyed playing at. Care to mention any of them?
Majestic Ballroom, Playmore Ballroom, New Prague Ballroom. I got the opportunity to play in Clear Lake, Iowa, where Buddy Holly played.
Oh, the
Surf Ballroom. Yeah, thank you. Surf Ballroom.
Uh-huh.
Those bigger, older ballrooms like that just have a beautiful acoustic feel to them that just...
Get over to Medina at all in the Twin Cities area, Hamel?
We did play in the Medina with on the Molly B. Show.
Oh, sure, yep.
And, another wonderful place.
Yep.
Yep. It's hard to beat.
You bet. We got into the Bell Ray Ballroom. You've been there probably back through the years?
We have.
Yep. And also the Prom Center. Were you old enough to be in that one?
Nope. I don't think we ever played at the Prom Center.
Okay. Yeah. And Schlieff's Little City down in the Twin Cities area?
Not to my recollection. Oh,
okay.
We played mostly south of the river.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Yeah, there are some other good ones. Withrow, Winstead. There was one over on Bass Lake, over on by White Bear Lake, over in that area that we used to get to. Some of those were smaller dance halls, but they were, you know, they had their charisma or something about them, and the people that came. And a lot of the ballrooms were built on the lakes. It seemed like back in the days. And
you're right.
Yeah, summer evening. Go ahead.
And the old Gibbon Ballroom, a person
there
can't
you go.
Forget about the Gibbon.
Right, yeah, Cliff and Katie Hermel there. Yeah, some
Absolutely.
Wonderful proprietors. I was going to say, back in the day, there wasn't any air conditioning back in the early years that I played. And on a nice summer evening, a Saturday night, you know, you'd hit temperatures or maybe up in the 80s. But as the temperature came down towards dusk and the music seemed to carry over the water so nice, it was just really nice. A lot of times, either if there was music earlier or something as we'd arrive at the ballroom, it was just so nice in the evening like that, you know, on a nice clear. Of course, there was some stormy nights too. But it was really a thrill to get to some of these different ballrooms, especially when they were built on the lakes like that. So
definitely.
As you look back, Dale, our time's running short here. I always ask every musician if they can remember some event or something in their career that stands out, an experience or an award or anything. What comes to your mind that you might want to share with the listeners?
I would say one would be when we were asked to play at the State Fair in Minnesota.
Okay.
And the second is I had the opportunity, the privilege to accept an award for my dad being inducted into the Concertina Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow. That's really neat. The one in New Ulm there, that one, Minnesota?
Correct.
Minnesota yep. Music Hall of Fame. And what year was that?
That was 2017.
Oh, okay, so he was already gone.
He was. He just missed it, and then, or I'm sorry, 2016 maybe.
Okay, sure.
Because my mom just passed away October 11th, and I believe the acceptance of the award was October 25th or something.
Sure, sure, you bet.
So, but yeah, it was quite an honor.
I can believe that. All right. A lot of any jobs booked the coming year now for the Dale Pexa Band where people might see you?
You know, the Savage Legion in Savage, Minnesota, we play there almost every other month.
Okay.
We're playing there January 27th, I want to say.
Okay.
It is a Saturday from 7 to 11.
Okay.
And they do have a website if you want to look up when we're playing there.
Okay.
And we have a job in February at the Park Ballroom. I believe that's February 25th on a Sunday from 1 to 5.
Okay. And the Park Ballroom is where?
That is New Prague.
Oh, that's New Prague's Ballroom. Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
And we do have one way if people want to look us up is on Facebook, and it would be under the Dale Pexa Band.
Very good. Very good.
And that's where I post, you know, when we're playing next.
Okay. And are you actively booking? Are you just waiting for the phone to ring, or how do you manage things nowadays?
We do take bookings yet. With the situation with a lot of the guys, we try and keep it to once or twice a month.
Sure.
And we're almost to that point now, but depending on, you know, the situation and the location, we're definitely open to anybody that would be interested in booking us.
Okay. Very good. And I had one other question that flashed through my mind, and it escapes me right at the moment. I don't think it's going to come back in time here. So at any rate, Dale, I think that's going to wrap things up. So we want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us on our Musicians Come and Play program. And I must tell each and every one, the good Lord willing, you and I are here down the road sometime. We'll do this thing again sometime. How's that?
I would love to do that, and I want to thank all the listeners.
Well, very good. So with that, we're going to let you run. Wish you a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you much, Simon.
All right, and there he goes, Mr. Dale Pexa Jr., our 228th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And we've got music coming up by the Dale Pexa Orchestra, so don't go away.